interrupting current, neo-uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind a woodshed. This is Cricket Dude Busting episode BTWRLM 546. Is we got some very interesting stuff all of a sudden happen, all of a sudden on cue, it seems, and not so on cue either, and then on cue. As the planners of what they want to do, when people start taking action, they really look forward. I think we watched a pretty interesting genius, in a way, in the world here, and the on time for them was picking the exact time to pull this thing off, and I'm talking about the action in Gaza, and I don't see a whole lot of discussion about it. A lot of it seems all a lot wrong, and again, no different than the history behind it. Ukraine. People seem to miss a whole lot of points up front and go down the other path and wrong path, and I'm going to say a bunch of stuff. If you're a supporter, a wholehearted supporter of Israel, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. It's not going to give complete license to Palestine either, the Palestinians. But we are not looking at the total picture, it seems. And this is all in time to bring on another global condition. And you're watching all the players do exactly what they're committed to do from a long time ago. Historically, this whole thing was set up to be right here today. And I find it fascinating. The propaganda machine, how fast it rolled out. And hard to tell. I mean, hard to see. Some of the stuff is propaganda or not. You just got to watch and closely pay attention. As this situation in Gaza, in Israel, it's not really Israel in my mind. It's still Palestine, and that really hasn't been decided. And anything that you thought and heard was decided was done by a bunch of people that didn't have title to that land or a right to it. And if you'd hear me talk about property, that's a serious problem. And so unless we want to start admitting there's a conquest going on, which is a wholly different thing, and who is helping this condition, we have to then step back and say, well, do these people actually have a right to say what they're saying? All these countries, I'm saying people, but these are the countries that are representatives. You're going to hear a little bit about international law as we go through, people making reference to it, and some of it's correct, and some of it is not necessarily applied so correctly. But as I've done in the past, you start parsing out what's going on on the land, what happened, who the aiders and abettors of an occupation were, and you start to realize that there's a different story that needs to come out. I'm hoping this thing does bring it out. I think these people may have, the Hamas group, which is called militant, but you have to understand who's talking. As soon as you see the word militant, you realize you're looking from the West perspective, from Israel's perspective. So you start keeping track. I told you these words are very important. They pay attention to this stuff in international law as well. Let's move through quickly here. I want you to remember this. This Hezbollah issued statement saying that the operation to free Lebanon lands from Israel occupation has begun. The Hamas is doing the same thing for the Palestinian lands. And you understand what's happened in the illegal Israeli settlements that are right outside the wall of a people that apparently India believes needs to be behind that wall. If you thought that India was against British colonialism, the hostilities are raging around the Gaza Strip. On October 7th, Palestinian militant group Hamas fired a barrage of rockets towards Israeli territory and infiltrated it by land, sea, and even paragliders, catching IDF, Israeli army, off guard. The surprise move aimed to, quote, liberate the Palestinian lands met support in the several Middle Eastern countries. And watch that group, because they're going to start shifting, and I think we'll get to the news by the time this rolls around. You're going to see lots of these Middle East countries are starting to have to look at themselves over what they've been doing and take an honest assessment of whether who they're going to, are they going to protect the Arabs? Or are they going to protect this usurping occupier, essentially, that was aided, again, remember how this works in the history, through the His Majesty of Britain. You can see that through the Balfour letters. And helping who? Not the Jews. The Zionist Federation. As I've been telling you, they're distinct and different. And the Jews, as a religious-believing people, those that are, either were duped or didn't understand that they were being duped or kind of took advantage as well. And that's the other thing that you'll see. They may say that they're innocent, but they're not either. Again, when you walk into someone else's land, you're a squatter or an occupier. And if you're going to do it with military might under international law, that could be conquest. And that may be what's hiding underneath all this. And you'll see nobody talking about it. Nobody bringing up that idea, which is the meaning that you are invaded as a people. If you want to talk about the humanitarian thing, isn't supposed to happen. Moss duped, and this attack was very special and very quiet. It's coming out that some people in the nations did know. Egypt seemed to know days before and tried to telegraph that to, I think, an arrogant Israeli military or attachés, and I think that's what part of the problem is here. But Hamas is said to have duped Israel before devastating attack. The attack had been planned since the Israeli-Palestinian hostilities of May 2021. Listen to the secrecy that was going on this thing, in which Hamas was a major player and a source of close to the radical movement claimed on Monday's story. Israel was deceived into believing that Hamas leadership was more interested in economic recovery in the Gaza than in renewed fighting. Understand that Hamas is actually also not only a military group, but they're also a political group that did win a democratic vote. And so you have to understand part of what's going on here, and we'll come up here in the future in another couple tabs. Now you'll see who actually created Hamas. But as I sent a Twitter out, maybe this is Hamas cutting the apron ties. Reading on more here, this story, that 1,000 fighters who were trained to attack on Saturday were unaware of what they were preparing for, as were many leaders in the organization, the source claimed, even when the militants openly conducted urban warfare drills at a mock Israeli settlement built in Gaza, their opponents considered the threat relatively low. An Israeli security source told Reuters that Israel had moved troops to the West Bank for extra protection of Jewish settlements there. Again, Jewish settlements. They're settling that land, and they aren't having privity to the land. They just make a claim for it. That's never been adjudicated. Remember that, too. And as I say, if it's going to happen out there, you watch the folks in the United States are supposed to have your property rights. They're likely not going to recognize this stuff until you know a lot more. Why I kind of settled on property and when I got that through the mining law. You watch how that's all denied, and this is what they're doing to you here. So don't think I'm talking about out there just and only. The lightning offense on Saturday involved Hamas firing 3,000 rockets to overwhelm the Israeli air defenses and enable a hang glider incursion over the Gaza border wall, the source said. The advanced force secured the area and provided time to breach the fortification with explosives. An elite Hamas unit on motorcycle then overwhelmed surprised Israeli troops. They jammed Israeli communications, added to the confusion, and slowing down the response. Hamas fighters attacked civilians in Israel and took hundreds of hostage, which they plan to exchange for prisoners in Israeli custody. And I'd like to offer here, of all the questions in some of this whole thing, how did they, regarding, like, let's say the rocket systems, if you've seen them, they're pretty sophisticated little systems, and the number of them, how'd they keep all that secret, and where did they train the Palestinian paraglider air force that Israel was blind to? That just cracked me up a bit. How ingenious that seemed to be to me. But you have nothing? You're inside a prison, high walls and security, and you still have this? Certainly talked about contraband in a prison. Contraband can be brought in. Missiles? Paragliders? And I don't know why, but it reminded me of the chickens and choppers from the Cows with Guns video that I said, how brilliant is using those to come in. They had to do some practice, though. They just didn't pick that up that one night. And I said, I think necessity was the mother of invention to bring that forward. And we maybe seen the first time in history Palestinian paraglider assault air force. Pretty cool. Whichever side I think you might be on, I think that was pretty ingenious. As we keep going and lay this thing out, Hamas fighters carried detailed maps of Israeli targets to combine with the idea it was first took out. Well, how can the Israelis be surprised? How can the secret be going on? But you start seeing that the Hamas fighters had detailed plans, detailed maps. the intelligence. They had been doing a lot of study of what they were going to go after, the maps, operational plans and instructions on how to engage the Israeli military were reportedly recovered from the bodies of Hamas militants. They indicate the sophistication of the preparation for the raids. The Hamas representative claimed on social media Thursday that the operation had been planned since 2021. Think about keeping a secret that long, folks. That was right on through the Kobe swindle, wasn't it? And it's interesting to see a whole lot of these things going on where they used cover over time to just keep going and execute the plan. Stick with the plan, execute it, and loose lips sink ships, I've heard in the past, and there was apparently not a loose lip on this ship of state. A flashback, though, and we're going to get to this thing about the anomaly about Hamas. Hamas, so you can see clearly Ron Paul was on this. Hamas was started by Israel. In 2009, Representative Ron Paul said on the House floor that Israel encouraged and started Hamas. Paul's comment came during a speech about blowback due to the U.S. intervention in the Middle East. Well, what's happening in the Middle East, in particular with Gaza right now, this is 2009, we have some moral responsibility for both sides in a way because we provide help and funding for both Arab nations and Israel, Paul said. We have a moral responsibility, especially now today, the weapons being used to kill so many Palestinians are American weapons, and American funds are being used for this, he added. But there's a political liability, which I think is something we fail to look at because too often there's so much blowback from our intervention in the areas that we shouldn't be involved in. So I want to say here, don't forget, Israel created this Mossad. This is not in a vacuum, that Israel is U.S. Israel is us. I've even had a title a long time ago about this. IS is U.S. IS is, if you remember all those broadcasts. These are what's going on and being created as tools for the Zio West options that they create for themselves. Now, I'm bringing this up because it was said we can see that Hamas was made. This is a setup for Israel to go into Gaza and flatten it, which they're talking about. And I keep looking at this, and I'm not so sold on that, if it is that Hamas cut the apron strings, so to speak, and it was time for them to do the Palestinian cause, because Hamas was created to get rid of Arafat. It wasn't created to abandon or attack the Palestinian cause. What you heard is their attack, if you will, if it was an attack, if not a big defense, an escape, was to reobtain their lands that are being illegally settled by Israel in the face of everybody, every nation watching. So let's keep together this condition. Remember this whole situation where the Zionists placed their territory, demanded their territory, and got help from the crown, the UK, was to foster the Zio Federation and encourage and aid and comfort to those 9/11 manufactured terrorists as well. If you look at that connection, everyone's making that 9/11 connection. Israel claimed it right off the bat. I see some of the basics that are the same, but when you apply the facts to the players, this thing is not 9/11 for Israel at all. To do that, you'd have to be, all the Americans would have had to have been in Washington, D.C. and attack the rest of the country and put it down for this to be a similar thing. The only linkage is that maybe the governments knew. Well, maybe not, and I'm kind of want to point this out. I've seen kind of a few, I don't know if it's sarcastic, you're dealing with a bunch of, you can't deal with a bunch of, goat herders. These folks are not goat herders, and this is another prejudice that's thrown out there. You can believe they are, but look at what they just pulled off. And every military man says this was pretty complex and sophisticated attack. So we can keep thinking that these people are not, don't belong, they're not, or they're animals, like Israel's propaganda saying. Or you can understand they're a group of people that have had their land stolen, and this is the way they fight back. Maybe we can take some lessons as we watch our countries being taken down. Furthermore, here, Western conservatives talk about defending the Judeo-Christian civilization against Hamas Muslims promoted without context. The radical ideology that he calls them militants and extremists, when if you notice that it's they're just people that are Muslims, and the Judeo-Christian ethic is really a fabrication as well. Again, a new complexion is placed on this, that Hamas, Mossad, United States created to get Hamas to get rid of Arafat. It didn't necessarily mean those people that volunteered to do that agreed with who was paying the bills and causing them to want to get Arafat. They just wanted Arafat out. It never said, I've never seen anywhere where the Palestinian cause was ever a question for subversion by this group. So we want to, in the West, we want to come through and Western conservatives want to, I've heard the din of Judeo-Christianity. There's no such thing as Judeo-Christian world, folks. Go look very carefully. This is another promotion. And neither can this debauched West be either Christian or Jewish. The latter, the persecutors of Jesus Christ, if you read closely enough. This is not a Judeo-Christian against the Muslims, but Muslims against the cult of Satan, as we listen to other people in Islam talking about this thing. This is about is the Muslims against Dajjal. This is the Antichrist coming. For those of you eschatologically aware, you know exactly what this starts to become. But this is a fight against evil, essentially. And I don't know how anybody, it really boggles my mind that anybody can look at what's going on and support Israel at all. If they wanted that land and they claimed that land, it's a claim. To have them show up and have maybe international body looking over that the claims for the land that they would have done one by one, like anybody would do in the United States of America for a claim against land that someone else has, you'd get adjudicated. You wouldn't go get another nation's military to come and inject you into a society and then foist a bunch of nonsense on other people to get them to capitulate and drop their discernment to go over there and get a bunch of people shoved into an open-air prison. And this is bigger than just Hamas, because immediately thereafter, and I mentioned Hezbollah saying before that this was a protection of their lands up in the north. That's what starts to happen, although those players are not quite yet fully engaged. Israel fires artillery at Lebanon. West Jerusalem said that its military has been responding to mortar attacks. And so again, you'll see the give and take. They only respond, because they're defending themselves. But they are there as occupiers. They're not a defense. They're always in an attack mode. And we can see this and how they move this through and their excuses and the fact that they're totally unaccountable to the world. I don't understand that either. It also shows you the level of evil that we're dealing with and that apparently there's no moral man or woman in governments to stand up against that sort of evil. It's that big. And so we'll just leave that there. The shells here, we say, that Israel fires in artillery going north now. The shells had been fired from the Lebanese. They claimed that the shells that came in that they were responding to were Lebanese territory, reportedly hit in an Israeli military site in a contested Shiba Farms area. And then Hezbollah says, well, those folks were doing something wrong as well. So you don't know he said, she said. The thing is that this battle becomes a little bit bigger pretty quickly. And yet, Hezbollah has not yet moved either. They're doing their continually tit for tat thing that we don't normally hear too much about. But on all this, how is it we can hear that Israel claims that they got attacked from a direction? How is it no one can tell the direction of munitions which rained down upon the citizens of Donbass since 2014, which kills and maims them daily? Nobody knows how to figure out the direction of munitions coming in, but it's undisputed that these shells that came from Lebanon that Israel claims is a pretty astonishing shift all of a sudden. Of course, they would have come from Lebanon in this regard, just as the Ukraine has kills its own people. The Hezbollah is a border conflict. The Hezbollah is a military organization. Israel is a military organization. And no different than India attacks China. China attacks India. Pakistan attacks India. All these people fight each other. We're not a mankind of peace at all. And so this is, of course it came from Lebanon. You don't need that kind of a work. I just wanted to know how they know the direction so clearly when they can't identify that direction's killing people in Donbass. But the United States supports Ukraine and has no say against it, is the whole point. Well, part of my theme here, nobody's saying anything against it other than giving lip service to it all. No action is taken to stop it, whether that's diplomatic, whether that's sanctions like they give everybody, you know, the West puts on everybody else, whether that's diplomatic corps being thrown out, whether that's fundings that are held, business not being done, all this stuff not being put up against the, even if you blame both sides, Palestine and Israel, none of that's happening by the onlooking world. And I'm talking more of the countries that have to say. So they can do it immediately. The Israel knows what directions are, but you can't. You go to Ukraine, all of a sudden the sky you can't tell. And this is the United States is on both sides of this story and playing the game of the side, both sides of the fence on this issue. Where is this long suffering outrage from these otherwise seemingly intelligent hypocrites, folks? That's what we're listening to here. This is all a big political game, and people die. This is the government's killing people. Interestingly, there's another theme going in this broadcast for all this. You're going to see who else wants the people dead is this climate change sustainability nonsense. It plays into that as well if you listen very carefully of who the players are, what they're asking to have done, and what the outcomes will be if they get their way. But if what we see is the surprise attack by Hamas, and it looks like it's fairly true, if this is true, it shows Israeli competence, doesn't it? And we kind of see that where it lost in this attack. If it knew, it would not have allowed its high command in the area to be taken or killed. And that, to me, was the first proof that Hamas really pulled something off here. This is for earnest. This is not a game just about Israel. Israel will take the advantage. They will try to flatten the place. Right now, that's what's going on, and no one's really speaking. Oh, they speak out, but they don't act to stop it. And so, as I read this next section, Israel knew of Hamas attack in advance by a U.S. lawmaker, Representative Michael McCaul, listened very carefully for the excuse at the very end that he gives them. Everyone's giving an excuse. They don't have to go take an action against this. McCaul backed up an earlier claim that Egypt tipped Israeli officials off to an impending assault. Quote, we know the Egypt was warned the Israelis 3 days prior that an event like this could happen, McCaul said following a closed-door intelligence briefing on Capitol Hill. Quote, I don't want to get too much into classified, but a warning was given, McCaul continued. I think the question was at what level? And there's really the excuse, because now we can detach Netanyahu's responsibility to this, and I think he's instrumental in all this, in this issue, and moving this thing somewhat forward, and it could have been after a surprise. In other words, I believe it's not beyond my imagination that a whole lot of scenarios are put in folders on when, if this to happen, this is what we do, and relative to propaganda, relative to taking initiative and advantage, this is how we play these parts out. And I don't have a doubt that there's a folder for each one of these gameplays, these scenarios, and this is what they pulled out and immediately hit the social media. What I saw come through my first day through the X feed was people that I thought were intelligent. Again, these intelligent hypocrites. Those must be Israeli bots. All these folks I thought were real people must be Israeli bots, because they get this thing so far off of what the facts are, immediately bending a knee toward the Israel right to defend itself. In fact, it's an aggressor. And I've never seen anything else except for a lot of lip service promoting that. But no one can produce the title to do that to the land, or nor the possession they have of the people. Nor the conviction against them, a crime that they've done. And moving on here with this, McCaul was saying, Saturday's surprise attack had been viewed as a catastrophic failure for Israel's intelligence services, which were previously believed to have eyes and ears throughout Gaza. And I certainly believe that, but see, this is the promotion. The omniscient, omnipresent Israel, there's nothing you can do against it, but Hamas figured something out, and it took a while to figure out the plan and execute it, and it looks like they did fairly well. Netanyahu has repeatedly denied that he was notified of Hamas's plans before the onslaught. Okay, but that doesn't give him license to go do anything either, but that's, again, we're going to make plausible deniability here. and McCall helped give them that. Shortly after McCall spoke, the reporters of Washington on an anonymous Egyptian official told the Times of Israel that Cairo's agents did warn their Israeli counterparts about the planned Hamas attack, but that this warning may have made it to Netanyahu's office. And there's the Egyptian excuse, even though Egypt is sitting right there on their border. And so watch the players, how these players are sitting there as well. Israel's intel operation and logistics lapses failed to stop Hamas's attack. This comes from Yaakov Kedmi, a former head of the Native Intelligence Agency. Quoting him, the most difficult thing in intelligence that you can never fully rely on is assessing enemy intentions. They can change. They can change very often, Kedmi said, evoking former Egyptian Army Chief of Staff Saad el-Shalzi, who once recalled that he wasn't sure that the 1973 Yom Kippur War against Israel would commence until 15 minutes before it actually began, and when the President Anwar Sadat entered the command post in a field marshal's uniform. Quote, in other words, Kedmi says here, the question of intention and what will ultimately happen may not be known even by high command. Therefore, competent, correct intelligence prepares the army, and the operational elements of the forces must be ready in accordance with their capabilities. What are they capable of? The fact that Hamas is capable of simultaneously throwing 2,000 to 3,000 people into battle has always been clear to everyone. Therefore, the defensive lines and defense systems should have been ready for this, regardless of what agents report, what Hamas leaders think, can be summed up. Ultimately, the observer believes that the ideas here, Kedmi believes that the ideas about the power and capabilities of Israel's military and its intelligence service may have proven, quote, a little exaggerated in the public imagination. Here we have perception management par excellence. If you thought these folks were invincible, they certainly aren't. Hamas wasn't going to have it, and they were going to find every weakness in their adversary. Sounds like they have. We'll see the blowback on this thing, but they're not settled. They're not taking the suggestion that they're anybody superior to their object, which is to get their lands back. And I don't know how anybody can't look at what's going on there and see the reverse here from the United States borders being overrun and what's going on there. If you can just adjust that just a little bit to see the almost identical same thing, how nations get taken down from inside eventually, how they get rooted out by internalized corruptions that aren't checked. And this is the part of the process of allowing people in. You don't know who's coming in. A lot of people are afraid of the Chinese and they call the foreign nationals, which are all military young guys coming in. Well, this is what starts to happen. In this case, you've got an invader from the outside already came in, took everybody, like I said, it'd be like everybody in America being put into Washington, D.C. and watched over by someone like Israel. So if you reframe it maybe like that, maybe you'll understand what's really kind of going on here as the power struggle goes on for a place to live, essentially, and be left alone and be in peace, real peace, not the peace imposed by you by a bunch of foreigners everywhere around the world. So it's a little exaggerated. It's all in the public imagination, this omnipotence. Intelligence is a complex system. The breakdown of witness Saturday was a failure of operational intelligence, including those agents working among Palestinians. This is the most fascinating thing that got me. I thought that there was eyes and ears everywhere. Well, apparently not. And this is the thing. I think there's a little bit of hope here. You don't listen to the superiority of somebody. Assess their actual quality much better. When you see the plans I talked about that are being found on the Hamas soldiers that are killed, they were not for want of information. In fact, they were for want of capacity to fight in those things, but they went anyway, I guess, is the other thing I noticed. The first stage, this article goes on, the first stage of the operation was so well executed by Hamas and flawlessly executed from a military standpoint, that Israel President Isaac Herzog accused, quote, proxy commanders of Iran, of supporting and directing Hamas, claims which Iran Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei slapped down on Tuesday, and this was the first clue that this the target about this maneuvering is really about Iran. And so you see Iran respond right back. So pay attention to all these things, because I think our focus is really about Iran. And I'm not so sure they're executing this to get the United States trapped, like I've seen lots of people saying. We see the United States has had a long history. Over 10 years, we were told that there was a bunch of Arab states, in this case, Iran's Persian, they were going to take out. You remember that list? I don't remember all the lists. And they tried to take out Afghanistan. That got pulled from Syria. That got pulled from. They're now up to Libya. They tore that place down. Now they're over to Iran. They're still moving on that plan, even though they've failed almost everywhere. They have destabilized the politics, but they haven't gotten control. So understand, this is another theme going through this news, the notice here we're being told. Now, upon all this, I wanted to point out in a response to, I think it was Gary L., relative to Iran and relative to them being blamed, giving advice and the money, that $6 billion. We're going to find out a little bit about that money, too. Everybody has these stories they build up, and like I said, maybe this is Israeli intelligence propaganda that spoke out real quick about it. But if you just calm down and watch, and just even reason, there was no reason that this could happen. It only happened weeks after, let's say, the money came down, that everyone, the $6 billion, had nothing to do with it. But I wanted to know, relative to the secrecy, relative to the idea that Hamas was made by Mossad and or U.S. or CIA, and it was an internal agent that's now the military and the political regime in the Palestine. We're supposed to believe Iran doesn't know about the Mossad and Hamas, that Iran is masterminding anything in weeks and within recent money, and with the recent money the U.S. stole from it. And I add that I've been playing with the idea, as outlandish as it would seem, relative to what all the posts I was seeing, that Hamas did surprise, would be a massive twist in lots of knickers. And I think this one is. Now, they're not very big, and they're not very massive as a political fight, as a military fighting force, so they're going to have an comeuppance here on this thing. However, it doesn't stop them. They're not afraid. Hezbollah's not afraid. And this is the thing. You have to listen, like I said, remember the very first thing I opened with. They're there to try and get back their lands. And there's a lot of countries that don't agree with the so-called state of Israel, and we'll get to that pretty quickly, but why that's also the hamstring that's causing the problem, if you will. To me, they're all foreigners anyway, and they came out of the UN. So my thought on all this, we're finding out that, yeah, maybe it was a surprise, and maybe they weren't ready. And as Kedmi says, they knew the capacity, they should have been prepared for that capacity, and they weren't. On top of the point, we hear that one of the military bases, they lost high command. If that was your plan, you wouldn't be losing your high command that way. And so there's inklings that the people, the Palestinians called Hamas in their fightings, are a lot more capable. And I think there's evidence, if you look carefully under the skin, they have been capable. They don't get the press. Israel may have started out really strong, but they have been losing ground and capacity and capability for a long time relative to the Arab surrounding them, that up until just a few years, a decade or so, the Arabs were not agreeing at all. That there's something going on behind the scenes. I don't know what promises are being given, and we see those promises can't be kept, and I think that's the other problem now. The Arabs are seeing that too, that caused the Arab world to start splintering. That's what the United States needed. That's what Israel needed. This thing may start to heal, though. So let's watch for that. But if they were weren't capable, if they got caught with their pants down, so to say, maybe this, what I would think here was that Netanyahu's response is really an embarrassment revenge. Netanyahu vows to turn Gaza into ruins. That's a war crime right there. There's not, unless everybody's considered Hamas and military, you're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to. I understand that, but this is the point. Do you hold the rule, or do you let someone run roughshod? And then when you let someone else run roughshod, then when it happens to you, what's your excuse? The Israeli prime minister urged civilians to take the territory, warning the war with Hamas will take time and be difficult. Now he's set up like what I said. Putin needs to get his people to support him. Every leader needs to get the support of the people. Netanyahu is now dashed to the line as to get the long-term problem power to resolve this through the people's will to allow for him to make these decisions, however ham-handed or revengeful or all that nonsense. Again, I don't believe they have a right, so I'm not the one that says that Hamas is attacking when they're really breaking out of a prison. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to, quote, take revenge for this Black Day and turn every site used by Palestinian military group Hamas into ruins following a large-scale attack by the militant group of southern Israel. We'll go back again. By describing Hamas as a militant group, you know this is a Western-written, Western-perspective article. In a televised address late on Saturday, he called Gaza, quote, the city of evil, urging civilians to immediately leave the overcrowded Palestinian enclave, a home to an estimated 2 million people. It's an enclave? What happened to the Palestinian land? See, they're not even a state. They're not even recognized anymore. They were left alone before they were before the Zionist Federation was injected into that land. Now they're not even a people with rights. And if you start keep tracking this, I hope you start getting a better appreciation of how the world burns, essentially, how people get taken out, and maybe people that don't want to fight, inaction will enslave you, and when you do act, you become the extremist against the more capable propagandist and or powerful propagandist, but you're not done, and so there you have to weather that. So this is a license now that Benjamin Netanyahu is been giving himself in order to ruin the entire place. I mean, where would you say that Hamas doesn't tread within that place that Israel forced 2 million people into? But you'll hear they want them now to run. Run to where? And so we see the same model. Isn't it the same reason why the West agrees Ukraine can lay waste to the people in buildings in Donbas region in its ethnic cleansing operation in the name of democracy under the highly dubious right of self-defense? I mean, this is all the same model. Just place it in Ukraine. Just place it just about anywhere the United States or somebody with the attitude of the United States or influence or a proxy member, if I go that far. Ukraine's not a proxy. Those people are just fodder. But that's the excuse, and you get people buying into it, and people die. Same plan here. Netanyahu's using the same plan. I don't see any different. And Ukraine didn't come up with that. And so I don't think that we're going to see that Netanyahu is dumb because he implemented it. This is how they go around doing things. This is how they've done the whole of Palestine. This is why they're not within the 1967 border that was created. Everybody agreed to that, right? And the people there, we are completely, with the response and the ruins, the flattening the place, they say no. But remember, we just did the report that the very right side leaning government that's been put in Israel said that Palestinians do not exist. Now they're saying they're animals and they'll be treated as such. So what kind of an animal are we dealing with in these people that do that? It was my first. I mean, I can't agree with that to begin with. And yet, this is the type of propaganda that's put out, and people eat it up. But the people there are going to suffer this ruination. And I think it's partly due to embarrassment. They got their Israel got caught with its pants down, and it's maybe it hurts just a little bit here that they're going to put the woe on people, the civilians, the non-fighters. And has been identified. There's people inside of Gaza that don't agree with Hamas. You're going to kill them too? You're going to bomb them too? You're going to bury them in rubble too? This is a lot more delicate condition that needs to be solved. But every nation looking in has a hand and finger in this. But anyway, the people that are there being now suffering this, we are completely shocked by the damage. What are ordinary people in Gaza saying about Israel's retaliation? Since Saturday, Israel has struck more than 400 targets it says are linked to Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Let me interject here. If Hamas is the political structure right now, voted in for what the people do politically in the services and all that. What doesn't Hamas touch? Showing you how cynical the statement of Benjamin Netanyahu is relative to whatever Hamas touches, wherever they are. Anyway, moving on here. They want to call Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They want to make us think that what they're doing is like what the ISIS did. ISIS, created to go into another country by the United States and Israel. Remember, Israel was taking medical care of ISIS members. Remember, in Syria, don't lose all these points. It's going on, Islamic Jihad, like it's some terror organization. Remember, this is a bunch of people that are sitting in a prison and put there without their permission, without their consent. Do you think you need consent? No. Just go look at, you will be the next Palestinian here. You keep it up with this social sustainability and social stuff, if you don't see that. But moving on here with this story. This is not unusual in itself at this time. However, jets have also been targeting the houses of top Hamas commanders and political leaders, sending in the message to the group that their whereabouts are well known. Parallel that with the IDF have also been bombing the enclave's infrastructure, including mosques, residential buildings, roads, banks, and hospitals. Now, just the mosque alone, this whole thing started because the Israelis invaded the Al-Aqsa Mosque and did rituals and sacrifice there without right. And that's, I think, maybe the straw that broke the camel's back here with a lot of other points. So they went and bombed infrastructure, saying that the Hamas was in there. Well, where isn't Hamas if it's the political structure of the whole country? This is the stuff of the people. This is just not military stuff. And this is the big differentiation in Ukraine. Everybody wants to say, well, no, there's not a military road. This is not a military group. This is not a military house. This was not this or that, because under international law, you're not supposed to attack non-military things. It's pretty simple. Does Israel? No, they went right to destroying the people's the things that people essentially need. In fact, cutting them off from water and power, fuel, the necessities of life. Think your social credit here. Don't throw that out too far. When they tell you that you have been a bad boy or girl, you didn't believe in us as being the omnipresent, omnipotent force, you will have nothing and be happy. Note here, the IDF has known where Hamas is, right? It says right in that report that they know where all the commanders are. How did it not know how Hamas planned to launch 5,000 missiles within a half an hour? The first reports were Hamas launched 5,000 missiles. That's an impressive amount. And how'd they get him into this closed prison is another fascination. Just the logistics of that is just incredible. And what sort of magic was it caused 5,000 missiles to appear within the walls of the open-air prison called Gaza, and of which Israel is the gatekeeper and did not know? Fascinating. Fascinating dynamic here. Whether I like what I'm hearing, whether I have an idea one way or who's right or who's wrong, the people stood up. They've been defending, they're preparing to defend themselves and regain the lands that have been stolen from them, all from the inside of a prison. Maybe the prison wardens better pay attention here. Palestine accuses Israel of using restricted weapons, in other words, to ruin the place and to go where no country technically likes to be found doing. Israel doesn't care. They're not held accountable, and they never have been. And it would have been so simple for all these countries to not wring their hands over this, but start sanctioning, start throwing the people, Israelis out, officials, out of their countries, stop doing business with them, shut them all down, stop the military aid to Israel, stop the money. They say the United States government gives aid to both the Arabs, Ron Paul, you heard, to Arabs and the Israelis. Well, what happened the night or so before, the United States gave $76 million to Palestine for humanitarian aid, and then the war started, and they gave $4.5 billion for military aid to Israel. It isn't the sort of equitable discussion and aid I think Ron Paul was pointing to, but anyway, nevertheless. Palestine accuses Israel of using restricted weapons. Israel forces have allegedly deployed white phosphorus munitions and strike against the Gazan enclave, the Palestine claims. All of a sudden now this word enclave comes up. This is not a place for Palestinians. This is just a place they're being held. Such, and again, it has been confirmed by reporters and other people, again, with the internet, that it is white phosphorus. It's not assumed, it's actual fact. Such munitions should not be used in densely populated areas due to the acute threat that it poses to civilians, according to a 1980 UN convention on certain conventional weapons. White phosphorus burns at a temperature of between 800 and 2500 degrees Celsius. Having a wax-like nature, the substance easily sticks to various substances, including clothes and skin, and it eventually is extremely difficult to wipe off or extinguish. It is known to cause deep burns as far as bones, while the remnants of the substance contained in the human tissue can potentially reignite after initial treatment when it again makes contact with air. Really insidious stuff, folks. In 2006, the Israeli government admitted to using such weapons during the months-long war with a Lebanese militant group, Hezbollah. Israel insisted that at the time that it was used the munitions in accordance with international law, despite numerous media reports that they were fired in particular areas with civilian populations. This is supposed to be a big no-no. You're not supposed to engage the civilian population. That rule went out with Ukraine for sure, without any other nation really putting up any kind of objection. In 2009, Israel acknowledged using the munitions containing white phosphorus during the offensive in Gaza between December 2008 and January 2006. Previously, the nation's military was heavily criticized by the Human Rights Watch for such actions, described as evidence of war crimes. This is the other thing. There's always this evidence of war crimes, but nobody gets nailed for war crimes. It's as if Nuremberg was the trophy, and that was all, and as far as the governments were going to go. They needed the scapegoat, as we saw in the Nazis. They put on their show, but the Nazis were filtered throughout the world after that, as I pointed out in a past broadcast recently. In April of 2013, Israel said that it would stop using white phosphorus munitions altogether to create smoke screens and which switch to gaseous substances for such purposes. No new reports about its use by the IDF surfaced since that time until now. And so they are using them. They never got rid of them. And so again, these nations, they do as they will. You can't trust anything they say. And I think that's one of the themes of this world anymore. And now why we saw the fracture and split that Russia used to split this condition where we now have the so-called multipolar world, the South stepping in to be a counter to the West. But that's an economic view, and so don't get lost down that track more than that. However, you can't trust the West. That's why I said they should have never politicized the dollar. And doing so caused this whole split, the ability to make this split. Moving on to the ruin and the ruination of Gaza, a little bitty strip, it's like 25 miles long or something, I understand, or maybe 15 wide, not very big at all. But they're going to ruin that place, and again, part of me says it's an embarrassment. They got caught with their pants down, and they're going to make those citizens pay for what Hamas pulled off. It's really a genius move. Again, military people are seeing this as a really sophisticated maneuvering. There's many different aspects of how you attack and surprise and everything. That right timing as well. The timing seems interesting as well, how they pulled that all together. The Israel lawmakers, though, say, and now they come back up, now the politics in the country come to back Netanyahu up. Israel lawmaker calls for the using doomsday weapons. Israel should use Jericho missiles to level Gaza without mercy. Jericho missile, strategic alert. Before considering the introduction of forces, doomsday weapon is what we want. This is all my opinion. May God preserve our strength, Gottlieb said. He's actually promoting this outwardly. I'm sure, maybe, well, I can't say I'm sure. I'm hoping they realize the guy's a nut. But why are they going to so-called doomsday weapon Jericho? Why are they going to an intercontinental ballistic missile system? Is another lunacy. However, when they call it out, they're setting the seed at the level that's going to become potentially given license to come in as they drum up the fervor of the population to support atrocity, essentially. Jericho is the name of an Israeli intercontinental ballistic missile whose most recent iteration is capable of striking almost anywhere in the world. Israel is widely understood to have anywhere from 100 to 200 nuclear warheads, something the government in West Jerusalem has neither confirmed or denied. Hamas, a Palestinian militant group that controls much of Gaza, launched Operation Al-Aqsa Flood on Saturday, firing rockets and sending commandos deep into Israeli territory. So there's the cause. It was the Al-Aqsa insult, the desecration of their mosque by Israelis running their rituals and a sacrifice. Wasn't supposed to be done. That's just another attack on a religious facility. You're not supposed to do that under international law. Did we hear anything from it? No. Was Israel sanctioned for it? Were they kept from having the benefits of normal diplomacy? No. The economy? No. No, they allowed this. The world allowed this stuff. So this action to take out at an extreme level, flatten, doomsday, you know, vaporize, all this stuff, sounds a lot like a Zio-Nazi final solution. For who, against who, is a Semitic-blooded Palestinians, if you look very carefully. They're the Semites here. As Israel carpet bombs entire residential areas as well. Apparently, the Palestinians are Jewish enough to enjoy their own Zionista cause Holocaust. And that's the point. This is not about Jews. And this is not about the religious aspect. This is about insulting religion. And this is about a political movement taking advantage. And taking advantage to essentially cause genocide of the Palestinian people. Understand, though, there's only 2 million in Gaza. There are about 4 million sitting right over there in Jordan, if I understand the numbers right. And that'll be playing out here. I think that'll be playing out a bit. If it already hasn't, why they can get all this stuff over there. You want to talk about the 6 million Semites that are going to be flattened, neutralized, liquidated? Yeah. It's going to happen again, the Holocaust. Only it'll be Palestinians, and no one will care because no one is educated enough to figure that out. They think Zionist movement, the Zionist Federation, acknowledged by the King, His Majesty, the King Britain, acknowledged that way. These people are protectable, and the Palestinians are not. I keep thinking about how stunning people have got this all screwed up and wrong. So, being misled, the propaganda, the immense amount of pressure it's on to get your buy-in. Are you going to reconsider this? Go back and look at how this is working out. Or are you going to be led, are we all going to be led by the nose through the deep state diversions? Or are we going to go ahead and look behind that curtain? We have to do that our own self. They're not going to do it for us. And act to stop the evil irreparably harming all of us. I've said this a long time ago. The open-air prison of Palestine, you don't understand, is the open-air prison we call America. It just doesn't look like that. And there's so much complaint about we're not free. And we're not. And yet, no, that's it. It ends right there. And a lot of people don't even know where to begin with it. Some are doing their best. But they're up against a few people are not going to be enough. And they're calling for 1 million people in Gaza City to move. Northern Gaza. How are they supposed to do that? Where are they supposed to do that? My observation is, why don't they just go ahead and break those northern walls down and just go north? 1 million people, 1 million women, children, and elderly going north instead of south. Might be another interesting problem. They're going to die. They're going to be flattened. They're going to be neutralized, liquidated in an embarrassment revenge anyway. they can not be just victims. They can actually be an army of a million innocent people moving toward the place Israel doesn't want them to go. If 1,000 people, 2,000 fighters can do this much damage and embarrass them that bad, I don't know what the world would do to watch a million people heading north and see whether or not Israel's going to just decimate those people as they walk. How much toleration are those dead people? They're dead people walking anyway. Are they going to do? Who is Israel to order anybody in Gaza to move somewhere else while they flatten it? Do we go to the UN Security Council? Well, I don't think it's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen through the UN because that's where everybody's at. That's where all the implementers, the aiders, and abettors are. The UN Security Council will hold an open, a closed-door emergency meeting on the Middle East Sunday. Okay, so that's going to be happening. They're going to be held a closed door. Why? Why not just open it up? This is a world-affecting condition going on here. The permanent representative of Israel will brief the UN at this time, but you'll notice that no representative for Palestinians will be there to brief. Why? Because they aren't a state. They aren't recognized. You'd think a body in the UN looking to look at this emergency would want to hear from the sides of the people that are getting flattened, that are getting crushed, liquidated, starved. No water, folks. I know about no water, and I know about no power. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. A lot of work to get the stuff back, to keep it around. And they've been closed off from even going to try and get it. Now, are we going to hear about a Security Council measure to enter closed doors where they give the oppressor, the attacker of civilians, the floor to explain? Again, let me remind everyone, the non-Semite Zionistas are committing anti-Semitism, attacking the Semite Palestinians. Right? We got that clear? If you don't have that clear, you got to go clear that up for yourself. You have to go see this for yourself. Do the study to find out the truth. So remember, one of the red lines that was created and occurring was the Israeli Zionists flooded the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the fifth day of Sukkot, one of the reasons causing the Al-Aqsa flood operation by Hamas, of which the UN is silent on the desecration. Why? The main players, these nations, are all in on the scam against the Palestinians. Now, we can just read that. We simply just go to the International Recognition of Israel, the Wikipedia. None of these nations have title to that land, and yet they are involved in making decisions for other people, the Palestinians. The State of Israel was formally established by the Israeli Declaration of Independence on the 14th of May, 1948, and was admitted into the United Nations, UN, as a full member state on 11 May, 1949. It was promptly granted de facto recognition by the United States, followed by Iran, which had voted against any partition plan, Guatemala, Iceland, Nicaragua, Romania, Uruguay, it was also followed. The Soviet Union was the first country to grant de jure recognition to Israel on 17 May 1948, followed by Nicaragua, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, and Poland. The United States extended de jure recognition after the first Israeli election on 31 January 1949. All the people pretending to be involved and caring were involved in the establishment of a state that overtook the land of the Palestinians in Palestine. What do you expect we're going to get hearing from these folks? Russia, too, which is interesting. If you look, the United States and Russia were the first to give the de jure. And if you understand international law, you'll see why they said the United States gave initially de facto recognition. These are steps to recognition. It only took two, actually. Eventually, they gave an occupier land and a statehood that they didn't have a right to give in that land. And so we can have all our opinions about what's going on, and we can see everybody agreeing that Israel has a right of existence and a right of defense, but they're part of the culprits. None of them had title or right. They coerced any title and right from the people. What are you going to do? Remember, Britain's behind this, starting that whole movement, agreeing with the Zionist Federation to do so. Interestingly, you didn't hear Britain, UK, United Kingdom involved in those initial recognitions. So it doesn't stop there. The harm doesn't stop with what embarrassment, revenge embarrassment that Netanyahu wants to now throw out. The EU suspends aid to Palestine, it was declared. There can be no business as usual, they said, Brussels has declared. But note, it continues business as usual. The EU is anti-Semitic and now fully backs Nazi-loving Zionistas in Ukraine. That's the proof of it. I don't need to know more. That's why I talked about it weeks ago. It also never substantially cares about the, quote, scale of terror and brutality against Palestine and its peoples, as we see the UN suspending all this. It doesn't care. It never has. It's all lip service, what's going on to people in Palestine. Interestingly, the early documents identify that Israel was put in Palestine, something denied today, like Palestine doesn't exist, the land, the territory. And this is EU, because now we jump over and we see it's supported by the as in India, here, we'll get to. All these players are singing the same song against a peoples in Palestine. It's fascinating. It shouldn't be a surprise that next in the notice we had through the week is the Palestinian Authority sounds alarm over genocide. Israeli forces are bombing Gaza with the stated goal of obliterating Hamas, officials claim. If they're obliterating Hamas, why are they killing women and children and elder folks and innocent folks and people that don't like Hamas? Although some of that dislike was because Hamas wasn't protecting them, and when they stepped out as a military to protect them, to take back what was theirs, they found favor in Hamas. So let's be very careful on what the support might be and what it might not be, and upon what, and what those people are really wishing for to happen. They want to have their lands back. They want to be left in peace. They don't want to be stuck behind a wall like Modi in India wants to say, that they should be peace behind a wall. And these are, again, the players. In a statement on Wednesday, the Palestinian Authority explained the efforts of Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki and his diplomatic corps to rally international support for the Palestinians by exposing the crimes of the occupation and the manifestations of genocide committed against our people in the Gaza Strip. I do not think that's an exaggeration when you're deciding to obliterate people under the cover of, oh, move. You got to get out of your city now. In wake of the Hamas incursion, the ministry said it wants to prevent Israel from, quote, exploiting the support of international parties to, quote, invade the Gaza Strip and liquidate the Palestinian cause. Or, as consistently, fighting to the last Ukrainian. And I hope you're hearing the consistencies with how this game gets played to take people out, take a peoples out, wherever they are. You're in the way, they'll come and figure out a way to take you out, and they'll get international support for it. As a quick aside, though, speaking of genocide, Gates Foundation announces new funding for a low-cost mRNA vaccine in Africa. Same land, same condition, Muslim area, yep. Earlier this year, the World Health Organization established a technology transfer hub in Cape Town, South Africa, to facilitate the production of sustainable mRNA vaccines. You have to understand that sustainable didn't need to be there at all, but what it means when it is. An mRNA vaccine employs a method that determines what part of the virus the human immune system should target in order to kill a pathogen. Well, let's go back through one quick sideways aside here from where we were going. Remember, novel mRNAs is essentially a programmed protein string with a lipid delivery system made in a laboratory. It's not organic. There's no pathogen that is attenuated or killed inside this thing. It's literally chemistry. The protein string that's synthetic can mimic a venom with any number of adverse reactions, such as clotting, bleeding, nerve, cardiac, or immune system dysfunctions. And when you go back and listen to what they just said about sustainable mRNA and what we've seen it does, died suddenly and all that, when you understand a sustainable human is a dead human. Remember Gates, the CO2 equation requiring population reduction or through eugenics? You understand that the pathogen to kill is the human because there is no the virus in a novel bioweapon, and you'll see me saying that in the X posts I've been put up, and what's the hashtag op, hashtag hindsight 2020. Now, back to our regularly scheduled atrocity, what we've been dealing with here recently with Gaza. Now, no humanitarian aid to Gaza, Israeli energy minister says, and this gets back to the genocide. They want these people dead. They don't want just Hamas. They want these people dead. Humanitarian aid to Gaza, no electrical switch will be turned on, no water pump will be opened, and no fuel truck will enter until Israeli abductees are returned home, wrote Katz on X. But shouldn't Israel suffer the same? No electrical switch will be turned on, no water pump will be opened, no fuel truck will be entered until Palestinian abductees are returned home, the ones in Gaza. Given the EU and West agree to the withholding of humanitarian aid, how about we starve out both factions until they make peace? How about we try something like that? In other words, Israel's not innocent. But remember we said that the EU had said that there was going to be no aid. Well, right off the bat, apparently, the suspension was pretty bad optics. And that is contrary to commitments that you're not supposed to do. You see Russia speaking to those commitments very much. They want to maintain their contracts. That wasn't so with the EU speaking out of turn. Right back after that was stated that they were going to withhold that aid. The bad optics of that and the players, you start to see the players in the proper position on the stage coming together. Borrell says the EU will continue to do payments due to Palestinians. The European Commission will not suspend due assistance payments to Palestine. EU foreign policy Josep Borrell said Monday, shortly after the EU neighborhood commissioner announced the end to all payments. The suspension of payments punishing the Palestinian people would have damaged the EU interests in the region and would have only further emboldened terrorists, Borrell wrote on social media. So this is about optics, it's about what it looks like, perception management. They don't have a problem with these people getting hurt really bad, but that looked bad when they had a duty to pay because of promises. Oh, they recognize you're not supposed to punish Palestinian people as well. Where is the EU to say what Israel is doing needs to stop, or we're going to penalize you? And what we see with all these players that agreed to interject the so-called State of Israel. See, it wouldn't exist unless there was those recognition by those nations at the time. We see this nonsense going on. Oh, we're going to really continue those aid. Oh, the Palestinian people shouldn't be getting hurt. All the time now, Israel's coming in to just decimate them, to liquidate them. Genocide is being called by the Palestinian Authority. Western virtue signaling goes hypersonic over Israel. With all the rhetoric, bluster, and warmongering coming from Washington and Brussels, it's clear that peace isn't really the first priority. Quote, Israel has the right to defend itself today and in the days to come. The European Union stands with Israel, tweeted European Commissioner President Ursula von der Leyen effectively blessing a carte blanche response to the notoriously measured and restrained Israel leadership in response to the Hamas attacks. Who do you think you are? You're unelected and have no authority to determine EU foreign policy, which is set by the EU Council, replied Irish MEP Claire Daly. Europe does not stand with Israel. We stand for peace. You do not speak for us. If you've nothing constructive to say, then you clearly don't, shut up. So that's a neat discussion, but where was the back, the support for that statement? In a single tweet, von der Leyen managed to position all of Europe as a more militant than even the editorial staff of the Israel's main national newspaper, Haaretz, which placed blame for the attack squarely on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, accusing him of annexation and dispossession, which openly ignored the existence of rights of Palestinians. The implication is that no action occurs in a vacuum absent the risk of sparking a reaction. The danger of Europe's unelected Queen Ursula unilaterally launching hypersonic virtue signaling missiles in a knee-jerk emotional response is that it can't possibly substitute for foreign policy decided in more sobering moments. Yet these days, more often than not, it's the only kind of foreign policy we get, and everything on everything from Israel to Ukraine. So this knee-jerk support for an oppressor, Israel, is where my disgust began in the first days looking at my X feed. Now, granted, it's a small sample size, and I only get to see maybe through other people that are reposting. But nearly all the seemingly intelligent people that I've been looking at prove to the contrary that they understand not even the basics of this situation. Cheerleaders, folks, I just could not. Pretty sickening, actually. I don't even know any more how much fertile ground there is to plant seeds with what I provide. If what I saw then is really the pervasive mindset, is there more than a couple of minds that are not susceptible to the mind control that's out there? I mean, beyond general contrarianism. I mean, we have that. All those people. We don't agree with anything. Beyond that, I mean, you got to be active and engaged in order to do what I'm talking about. But my feed started out of balance. It started out a few days later as well, though. That was kind of nice to watch. About a third of the late responders weren't having it with handling the Zionist carte blanche acceptance. There was more dedicated discussion and laying out of the facts, the historic facts, which could not have met what was being promoted by all the people in the first day or two. It just could not have happened. So I started to think, are these people, these accounts I thought were people, are they really Zionist bots? I don't know. I can't tell you right now. There is still a few of us that are resistant and do analysis of these things. But the blind corruption in the first 2 days, man, it was kind of like the Kobe swindle. It was it's kind of shown how easy it is to break down societies into ever smaller psychologically bound groups when you look through how this works. And this is, if we look at that in the United States and what people think they want, we the people aren't doing so well. And don't underestimate the connection, again, as I've said, with this climate change stuff. I know it sounds odd, but when you look at the methodology that's going on and how they get people to move and make decisions, Kobe Swindle was a perfect lab for us in that regard. I said it was. The warping of perception and the action in that and the immediate response is a scary thing to observe. So it was a bit of relief in days later that there was more thoughtful minds coming to the feed. I wanted to also mentioned maybe that Rachel Mardson has made some comments in there, and that was her comments were pretty good. They seemed to be pretty balanced. they exposed this problem, this lopsided problem. They exposed the how the peace would have to be made and seemingly moved forward. Again, we can't think for the Palestinians, and they're never given a seat at the table. So what I noticed really quickly, and this is a disturbing a bit, is my X feed was sorely missing of any measure of peace. And there was seemingly there was an elusive justice that didn't ever settle. And so if we're not going to have that in us, and we just knee-jerk reaction this thing, those Palestinians are going to hurt, and we eventually will, because that's a spirit in us that we're failing. And it should be obvious here, as we go through these stories, that there's it's too lopsided, and people are dying that had no real hand in it, and as prisoners to start with. And we see this report, tightening of Gaza blockade will make already very bad situation far worse. Quote, so any tightening of the blockade is going to make things that are very, very bad far, far worse, including the civilians, among them many women and children. And there's another story that the Hamas was cutting the heads off babies. That was an Israeli commander that made that up. So if we all jumped on that one, we were fooled again. And this is the thing. I mean, as soon as I heard that, I thought about the Iraqi babies out of the incubators on the floor. And that was set up by a Kuwaiti minister's daughter, actress, telling stories. This is what comes out. Well, that came out of the mouth of an Israeli commander to set the propaganda tone. It's not a joke that women and children are being killed, but it's not at the beheading by a Hamas militant. So we think it's diminished, like only Hamas kills. No, Israel's killing. Early on Monday, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant ordered the complete blockade of the Gaza Strip, including of food, gas, and electricity supplies. Israeli Energy Minister Israel Katz said that he had ordered the immediate stoppage of water supply to the Palestinian enclave. Tomu pointed out that during the 16-year blockade of Gaza, Palestinians living there could not leave. And this is the other thing. When they're told to leave, where are you supposed to go? When you live in a walled prison, where are you going? How cynical is that command? And what right do you have to make the command? What my listener is witnessing in Palestine is not, as it's described, a, quote, deadly incursion by Hamas militants into southern Israel last week. It's a jailbreak by Palestinians beyond the walls of their prison into Palestine, not Israel. But the world condemns while applauding and even supporting war crimes of a political occupier against the Semite people, the Palestinians. Think about or rethink about this point, please. You have to understand and reframe this in the way it's supposed to be. You won't want your mind to allow oppression against Palestinians, because if you do, you're going to allow it against yourself under more subtle constraints. Kobe Swindle, again, has been a big clue, as I predicted it would be. And if I'm wrong here, show me what is right. That I can even apply it to this stuff and show the connections is almost horrendous for me to watch myself do. And I don't see anybody putting two and two together on this. But this is us, inside us, these failures that will be exploited against us. So I guess that's maybe my disgust with my feed, my ex-feed, or reminding me I was correct. People generally, maybe now 80 to 90% now. Remember, only about 70 agreed with the Kobe swindle. There was 30% remaining. Now I see now maybe another 20 more percent were taken down. They are content with their acceptable change, the chains on them, and with watching others being shackled globally. You have to apply the response you're getting. If those weren't Israeli bots doing propaganda, we have a bunch of people that don't know they're being their perception managed to favor a global enslavement. And this all gets us where? Back to eugenics, population control. All this acceptance. As Israel, we have been saying here, Israel calls for all civilians to leave Gaza City. Like where? Where are they going to go? They're bombing the whole place. Civilians of Gaza City evacuate, must evacuate from the south for your own safety and the safety of your families and distance yourself from Hamas terrorists who are using you as human shields. Israel's using the whole entire place as a human shield. And they're not interested in just Hamas. They're destroying everything. Anyway, you can read that connection. I don't even understand where they got off to even say this, that all civilians have to leave Gaza City. Why? It's their city, isn't it? They're ignorant. Israeli ignorance is giving them license to go ahead and flatten the place like Ukraine does to schools and hospitals, because they claim Russia's in places that they're not. Just on the mere claim, and nobody checks it, and then those that go in and report on it are condemned? Yeah, we've got a bad spiritual problem in us as a people around the world. Again, there's some people that aren't having this. I agree, I understand that, I agree with that part. But there's got to be more than just not having it at some point. These genocides are going on, and we see that. We can move right on over into Ukraine, where we have the Slavic genocide. Remember, to the last Ukrainian, the United States is not getting its hand dirty. U.S. announces more military aid to Ukraine with a new package. Washington's overall military assistance to Kiev has reached $43.9 billion, Pentagon chief said. They don't just shove money at it, get people to follow the money and go and kill themselves, or order other people to go kill themselves. The meat grinder. There's no humanity, if I can use the word, in mankind. The humanity is animals, but the oppressors are the animals. And so, no, there's no outcry about it. As I've shown you, just go back to the tabs that I was talking about, read who was involved in forming this cancer and putting it right in the middle of these people. And of which is unaccountable in every aspect that I've seen since its inception. Fascinating. In further support here, this colonial view, this colonial oppression and sustainable genocide, India stands in solidarity with Israel, says Modi. New Delhi's reaction to Hamas's attacks, again, you have to look at this as a jailbreak. No, it's not a Hamas, it's an inmate attacking. No, this is a victim, a prisoner, attempting to extricate themselves from a cage. New Delhi reaction to Hamas's attacks on Israel stands in contrast to its major partners in the global south. Now go look at India's originations during Britain. And see if we don't find an answer for that. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi stated he was deeply shocked by the news of terrorist acts in Israel, hours after the Palestinian armed group Hamas launched a massive attack in southern Israel. The attacks marked one of the most significant escalations of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict in decades. Quote, Our thoughts and prayers are with the innocent victims and their families. We stand in solidarity with Israel at these difficult hours, read the rest of the Indian Prime Minister's post that he put on X. Boy, what a central propaganda hub, isn't it? X. X freedom. Innocent victims and families. What about the Palestinians? Are you talking about them, or just talking about the Israelis? Who is innocent in this issue? In this thing with the Middle East there, with Palestine. So look carefully at what Britain, where the origins from Britain, India is now, and what they're doing today against the giving India a new name, despite all its vociferations and actions taken against the colonialism. India supports the British cause, takeover of Palestine, and oppression of the land. The landowners occupying and allows the occupier in their land to aid the Zionist Federation that Britain promoted. India is just a product of this thing as well. And Modi is continuing the colonialism. You just go to the Balfour letter and to see that. India, all these decades, doing nothing more to resolve the conflict that has gone on all these decades. Again, that's not just India. All these nations have allowed the Palestinian problem to continue, the Palestine problem to continue, to allow they've fostered and encouraged and recognized that state of Israel should become the cancer in that area. What else are they going to say? Like, so, and again, the people who they're attacking, Palestinians, India, it means India is anti-Semitic, as is Britain, and you're seeing this in the whole entire world flipping the narrative and obscuring that truth. Again, when you see Hamas militant, you're looking from a Western author. Someone who is not, they should just drop the militant, just a Hamas member. That's how you can tell who's writing you can discern who's writing some of the articles. You watch the bias that's built into the words. Now, let me adjust it because of India, BRICS, all right? Let's keep up moving. All this methodology works all the same. They can't really be against it because they're promoting this concentration camp mentality, global concentration camp mentality in BRICS, as the West did through sustainability. So in regard to the New World Order, the real one, the 15-minute city escapee of the near future is the Palestinian of today, if you've been paying attention to what I've been talking about. Consider, folks, what I'm talking about. This is a long-term plan, long-term methodologies that enslave people. And if you think it's okay to happen to someone else, it's going to be happening to you in the future at some point. And right on cue of all this, the token Holocaust victim, an international warmonger, living an exceptionally long imposition in the world, comes to speak on the world stage. Europe has made a grave mistake on my immigration, says Kissinger. Former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has said the nations of Europe were wrong to take in many people who are now supporting Hamas against actions against Israel. Unless the militant group is punished for its hostage-taking, Europeans risk being targeted. Similarly, he warned, quote, there has to be some penalty. There has to be some serious limitation on their capability of taking this kind of action, he said, of Hamas's tactics. I can say the same thing of Israel. They've taken the Palestinian people hostage. Why aren't there any accountability at all of it? But Israel, His Majesty through Balfour, the agreement of the Zionist Federation, not the Jewish state, the Zionist Federation in the letters, has never been punished for its tactics and the hostage taking the Palestinians. Or Palestine, the whole territory. There has been no outcry against the universally recognized morally reprehensible act withholding water, power, and other essential necessities from people. I don't care what their name is. From the article, ask what Germany and EU should do in a current situation. Kissinger said he expected, quote, unconditional political support for Israel as well as military support if needed. Do I have to say that Kissinger's a Zionist? So he's asking for unconditional support for Israel to commit morally reprehensible acts against Semite Palestinians because he was, as this report says, a Jewish survivor of the Holocaust, giving him license to commit the Holocaust upon the Semite Palestinian. The only way that can be made to make sense is if he's actually the Zionist that I just mentioned and not Jewish at all, unless, of course, he spits on Christians. The report I did last week. I said, who's innocent in this? Deep enough, there's like nobody innocent, except I see a bunch of people being dislocated from the lands that they've had, and can literally, it's been said, if you read the articles, one of them says they have the title to the land. The Palestinians have title to the land. The usurping occupation of the Zionists do not. I don't care what their claim is, it's only a claim. They can put that in should have been put in a court of law and adjudicated. Then they could make the claim for that land. How the U.S. peace plan brought war to Israel's doorstep. Again, these idiots in Washington. And this goes back to Trump, so I'm going to lose a whole bunch more listeners, you Trump lovers. All these folks are working the same end. It's a global construct and a global prison. And we, as people, we've lost our principles about protection against that, and even in the other people. We think it's the other. And that's been told to us to be good, and it's just not. The 2020 Abraham Accords were a time bomb that exploded in last week's Hamas assault. The Abraham Accords, the United States has pushed to create a one-sided, unbalanced, and effective appeasement of Israeli actions, coupled with an attempt to use such to isolate Iran, was led to the calculation by Hamas that the only way to salvage it, its cause, is to unleash a full-scale armed struggle. The Abraham Accords, to this end, encouraged appeasement of Israel rather than making a mutually acceptable compromise which sought to move towards a two-state solution. In promoting this, the U.S. was happy to allow Israel, under Netanyahu, to continually move the goalposts toward the one-state solution and to effectively ignore Palestinian resistance, which it now described as unprovoked. And that's the other gripe, if it's a gripe, the other fraud, misframing. This is not unprovoked by Hamas at all. They certainly named three or four reasons. The invasion and desecration of their mosque is one. This is not unprovoked. If I threw away everything else, it's not unprovoked. At that one point, all by itself. In conclusion, the Abraham Accords were a strategic mistake by the United States that did not bring peace to the Middle East, but fundamentally destabilized it and led to the biggest wars Israel has been involved in since 1973 and done on in the 50-year, the date of the 50-year anniversary. Abraham Accords was the one, I believe, that was created by Trump, or was that the son-in-law? Interesting. And regarding Iran and the focus on this, and we saw that happening 10 years ago on what they were talking about, U.S. admits Iran is not seeking nukes. So despite all your saber-rattling against Iran, the United States has truths that it knows, and periodically it'll tell them to you instead of the propaganda. The Pentagon assessment came in a report dubbed Strategic for Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction, which also addressed other countries, and I give a link, I think I gave a link to that. Maybe I should remember to give that link. But here, while U.S. politicians continue to capitalize on Iran's exaggerated nuclear threat for domestic political gains, that's to my listener, that's all for your benefit, domestic political gains, who need the public's backing for what atrocities they do in faraway lands. The U.S. State Department set the record straight on Iran's nuclear program. It said, quote, it is assessed that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapons program at this time. And I want you to remember that as Iran, everyone points their finger at Iran all this time, and Iran's saying, hey, Hamas did it all by themselves. As the world, we watch the world, the United States and the West, the word, their promise is cannot be trusted. It's been the problem all along. It's what starts the thing in Ukraine and with Russia, finally breaking it for everybody. U.S. breaks $6 billion promise to Iran. This backs up the falsity that everyone said, oh, Iran did this because of the $6 billion. It was paid for the hostages. No one pays attention. That was Iran's money that the United States withheld through South Korea. It gave them, it promised its own money back, but conditionally, no one looks at that condition. And we get the answer for that condition that shows just weeks before what Hamas did since 2021 had nothing to do with that money or Iran input, just in weeks. U.S. breaks $6 billion promise. The word of the United States is gone. The worst thing that we could have done as a nation. None of the funds that have now gone to Qatar have actually been spent or accessed in any way by Iran, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters in Israel on Thursday. Quote, indeed, funds from the account are overseen by the Treasury Department, can only be dispensed before humanitarian goods, food, medicine, medical equipment, and never touch Iran's hands. The deal has caused controversy in the U.S., and come with further criticisms following the deadly Hamas attack on Israel, with some unsubstantiated reports partially blamed on Tehran, even as U.S. officials denied having any proof of Iranian involvement. All right? So the United States knows the truth. Why aren't we all hearing that? And why did so many people come back and say, oh, was that $6 billion that the United States gave to Iran and didn't have to give it to Iran? No, the United States stole that money. Trump was wrong as well. And this is a sanctions problem. This is why you don't mess with people's nation's money. You can't be trusted. You can't be trusted in your dealings. And with that statement, even though the United States talks about who, what, and where about what it says, Iran says that some of that's not true, though. It doesn't say in their statement, though, they don't say those funds have not been used. And so we got to be careful what's going on. It's in hold, but it's not in complete control. And Iran rejects reports on a deal says that the $6 billion released are frozen funds. The news is devoid of veracity, the locals say. The publication, which would tarnish, the news is devoid of veracity, the publication of which would tarnish the credibility of the Washington Post, the daily newspaper, the mission announced in a statement on Thursday, local time. It added that the United States senators in question and the White House are all, quote, acutely aware that they cannot renege on the agreement. Quote, the money rightfully belongs to the people of Iran, earmarked for the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran to facilitate the acquisition of all essential and non-sanctioned requisites for Iranians. Back in August, Iran and the U.S. agreed to free prisoners as part of a deal that also included the release of billions of Iranian assets illegally frozen in South Korea since 2018 under the pretext of U.S. sanctions. Can you hear your digital token citizenship and your CBD, your digital FedNow coin, now being shut down while they decide under the pretext that you didn't qualify for your essential needs underneath your responsibility to the ESGs and sustainability? No, the United States just does it under pretext. It was Iranian assets illegally frozen. The money was successfully transferred last month to accounts held by six Iranian banks in Qatar's Anli Bank of Dukhan Bank, and a U.S. official said Wednesday that intelligence agencies still have no evidence to show Iran directed the attacks, the Hamas attacks. And yet I saw so many people condemning Iran and wanting to go take them out. And the worst case of it was representatives of the United States government. And there's just no peace to be had. And notwithstanding, we hear right from Lavrov, they want to take the high ground. And remember, they were the second country to recognize de jure status of an illicit state interjected into a land that they did not own the land to, nor the entity they put in. High time to implement UN decisions on Palestine, Lavrov says. Those decisions are already on the books. This is no different than the peace agreement that was done between Russia and Ukraine, and the United States said no. The escalation of violence in the Middle East should provide an impetus for implementing the two-state solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said. This is something the Soviet Union imposed upon the Palestinians. This is not really an Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This is a Palestinian-against-the-world conflict. Everyone else has got their nose in Palestinian business. Lavrov, going on speaking to journalists on Thursday, the top diplomat reiterated a call for swift resolution of the crisis. After that, hopefully, quote, everyone would take responsibility for implementing the decisions of the UN Security Council on the creation of the Palestinian state under the principles that the UN has approved. The UN did not include Palestinians. I don't understand what Lavrov's even talking about, although there should be this answer. But everyone waxes eloquent on what's supposed to happen, yet nothing happens. These are all culprits of what's going on. And we move now into the political propaganda that we're now seeing spill out into X. The political propaganda control of free expression continues. CEO of X, formerly Twitter, responds to EU disinfo threats. Commissioner Thierry Breton has warned Musk in an urgent open letter. Listen to all the unofficial stuff going on here on top of all of this, an urgent open letter on Tuesday that X was facing a potential investigation and steep penalties under the EU's new Digital Services Act if it did not immediately address the illegal content and disinformation purportedly running rampant on the platform regarding the Israeli-Gaza conflict. And I can tell you the first 2 days of that was nothing but illegal content, and it was all wrong. The proper content that the EU didn't think was wrong came later, and then they didn't want that information out to show you what a bureaucracy does and the problem. But when you go through and see what X's CEO, Linda Yaccarino, said, all the word salad, I don't think it needed all the word salad for these generality threats. But to me, those generality threats, and you look in your local law here for this, go look underneath your extortion and coercion statutes. They're felony extortion and coercion statutes that this Breton did relative to that. And I'm trying to out them in generality without particularization. Why can't Breton simply be invited to contribute to a community note to correct any particular info in his opinion is a diss, or present a lawful order presented to ex-Twitter from a court of law with lawful due process declaring a particular expression violation for its local law and enjoining it? Why doesn't this Breton go ahead and use the courts? Why doesn't Breton identify the wrong information and move into the community notes that's offered by Twitter and put his opinion as a community note and see what happens relative to the facts and the truth, whether or not it's disinfo? This is the type of problem a bureaucrat can do to people when they don't challenge the authority up front. And I saw the word salad used by Linda Yaccarino to be just a waste of time. It's not going to get us anywhere. It's just going to get them in more hot water. And it doesn't ever press your right to free expression and your right to have the very same thing to protect you before X interferes with your speech. And getting back over, we're talking about this situation and the Israelis and the intelligence failures and all this. Well, speaking of intelligence failures, but apparently given a renewed license post 9/11, reading from the article, decades before Snowden, this American patriot waged war against illegal surveillance in the U.S. in the 1970s. U.S. Army Captain Christopher Pyle blew the lid off government agencies' domestic spying. This is not even new. This is what the government does. And we're just late bloomers as a people. Should have never had any agreement with it whatsoever. And in the 1970, a U.S. Army captain went rogue after he discovered that the military was conducting surveillance on dissidents across the country, thus sparking the first efforts in modern times to tame the United States intelligence. In 1968, after half a century before the world heard of the name Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor who blew the whistle on U.S.-run global surveillance system, Christopher Pyle, an Army captain who taught law at the Army's intelligence school at Fort Holabird, Maryland, was about to do something no less memorable. Pyle and Irvin eventually spent countless hours delivering testimony before various congressional meetings over a span of several years. According to Pyle, as the result of these successful investigations, the entire U.S. Army Intelligence Command was abolished and all of its files were burned for his actions. Remember, this was before the Internet. It was on paper for his actions. Pyle ended up on the then President Richard Nixon's notorious enemies list. Now, I want to point out, we still have that system. Edward Snowden pointed it out, even though I still think a lot of that was a setup. In the new digital times, they have digital tools. They needed a cover for it. That's how they were able to get it. It took someone stepping up and taking the action and persisting and pursuing it. But understand, this is not the intelligence failure of the government losing to an attack. This is the one that the government was attacking the people of the United States against their own right to know, against their own right to express, and putting them as targets and putting them on enemies lists. unlike what happened in the Israeli change. So be careful on how we equate some of this. As we move one more thing in the intelligence system, we see the lying, we see the delay, although they'll tell you, oh, they're telling you the truth. Well, it's delayed many, many decades from the Department of declaring water is wet. CIA finally admits 1953 coup of Iran's Mohammad Mossadegh countered democracy. The story here written, a little brief explanation for you here. I can't read the whole thing, but interesting story. Published last month, the episode was the first of two that discussed the CIA's role in rescuing six American diplomats from Tehran during the 1979 siege of the United States Embassy. However, it also contains that a commentary of the events of 1953, which in many ways set in motion the Islamic Revolution of 1979 that caused the siege. At one point, CIA spokesman and podcast host Walter Croson claims that the most of the CIA's clandestine operations had bolstered popularly elected governments, but he goes on to say that we should acknowledge, though, that this, therefore, is a really significant exception to that rule, referring to the August 1953 coup. Boy, that's not much of an exception today, is it? But the CIA admits it's wanting to get involved with what it considers to be democratic government its way. And you didn't see much different in Ukraine in 2014, Maidan. You're not seeing much different now in what they overdid in Palestine and threw those people out. And then installed this new, totally different government. Wasn't even one, it was the people done. But here we have this, the intelligence groups working, again, countering what they called, the CIA's democracy, then it's not democracy. And so we have the truth slowly coming out. As I've said, it takes decades and decades to get it. I don't know, this will probably go down the memory hole. But it just exposes how we cannot trust even our own government on what's going on, if you think that the news you're getting today is any different than the news that they want to be transparent about now back in 1953 involving Israel, invoking a revolution against it. So there's been the hands of the government of the United States have been everywhere for a long time, a lot longer than some of us have been as well. And given Iran is the target regarding Israel, U.S. More political war prizes, I suppose. Iran slams Nobel Peace Prize decisions. Tehran says that selection of women's rights activist Narges Mohammadi was political. Well, they've been talking over and over, and we find out that the Nobel Peace Prize is really a political prize. But we also found out there was a standard, and the way they're giving that out, it's not even to the standard of Nobel. It's fascinating. Well, how things change and no one says anything about it. Tehran says the selection of women's rights activist Narjeen Mohammadi is political, just like I've been saying, this prize is political. It's meant to do things and change, plant seeds, change people's minds. The population, it wants to foment things in people. And I'm not saying that women have no rights. I'm not saying that at all. In the story, they explain in 2011 another woman that had a political priest bride, but the politics was all different. It made more sense then. Today's it doesn't. Tehran has condemned the Nobel Prize Committee after it awarded an Iranian rights campaigner, calling the move politically motivated and alleging that the activists had engaged in criminal acts. The Nobel Peace Committee has awarded its peace prize to someone who had been found guilty of frequently violating the law and engaging in criminal acts. We condemn the move by the Nobel Committee as spiteful and politically motivated, Kanani added. Kanani urged the committee to award the peace prize only to, quote, individuals or organizations that sincerely seek to promote the culture of peace and justice in the world, instead of those, quote, serving as a tool to implement the hypocritical policies of some Western countries. There it is again, meddling everywhere. We want to say Hamas is the attacker. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Again, if I'm wrong, show me right. I don't want to hear no rhetoric. I don't want to hear your unsupported commentary. Give me the facts on how this would be different. So we have Iran there, and then we have Russia, the other target. pointless virtue signaling, Russia experts weigh in on 2023 Nobel Peace Prize awarded to Iranian activists. They're even talking up that it's just a political ploy. The logic of the prize itself is in correspondence to Alfred Nobel's will, which stipulated the prizes for, quote, someone who will make a significant contribution to the unity of peoples, the unity of peoples, the elimination or reduction of the number of standing armies, or to the development of peaceful initiatives. I believe the Nobel Committee's decision is politicized, and to a certain extent, Iran will most likely say that it is aimed at undermining the country's foundations and traditional culture. And in the West, the situation will be used to once again stigmatize the Ayatollah's regime as an undemocratic, repressive, and medieval. It will become another reason to draw a line between liberal democracies and illiberal autocracies. Critically, folks, critically being political and drawing the line, quote, between liberal democracies and illiberal autocracies violates Nobel's will to unity of all peoples. And so the imposition violates his will right off the bat. And I think that they're identifying that it's not just to coalesce two nations working against the Western interest. They're outing what the West does to undermine other nations. Moscow and Kiev differ on Israel-Palestine escalation. On Saturday, Russian Deputy Minister Bekhail Bogdanov urged both sides of the conflict to cease hostilities immediately. Foreign Minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova has released a special statement on the matter. Quote, we call on the Palestinian and Israeli sides for all immediate ceasefire, the renunciation of violence, exercising necessary restraint, and the launch, with the assistance of the international community, of a negotiation process aimed at establishing a comprehensive, lasting, and much-awaited peace in the Middle East. Quote, Ukraine strongly condemns the ongoing terrorist attacks against Israel, including the rocket attacks against the civilian population in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. We express our support for Israel in its right to defend itself and its people, the Ukrainian minister wrote in deference. So we see there's an agreement to the establishment of this cancer in the state of Israel, which none of these nations, even Russia, had the right to do, as I can tell. The Ukrainian Nazi government support for Zionist Israelis is supported by U.S. funds, and a material question, do the occupied Palestinians have a right of self-defense against an oppressor that Ukraine supports an oppressor? The IDF claims Palestinian resistance to be in a cage of an open-air prison, the action of terror. But remember, this isn't stated by an IDF terrorist oppressor. When you frame their actual function, you start to see a better truth. I hope people are going to do this. Those of you that already do, thank you very much for being clear-headed and eyed on this thing. This ends up coming home to roost because it's in us. I keep telling you, this is a spirit in us. And the spirit that's being fought against is an evil. How do you come to the term of going killing women, children, and old folks just because somebody broke out of a prison? It cannot be a people that is not evil. You have to come to a better term. Why do you let it fester? Why do you start without a big territory called Palestine and shove everybody that lived there down into 400 square feet or whatever the heck it is, four acres, 400 square miles, whatever the heck it is down there, 25 miles by 15. How do you do that to people? And we now moved into the Nazi issue a little bit. They support each other. Zionists and the Nazis supported each other. New findings confirm the late Dutch president Prince Bernard's Nazi party membership, as the truth slowly comes out. The Dutch government has officially acknowledged the authenticity of a Nazi party membership card belonging to Prince Bernard von Lippe-Biesterfeld, the consort of Dutch Princess Juliana. Despite his repeated denials of the Nazi affiliation, historians have long questioned his claims. The Dutch government is the Nazi news, then don't dare say Netherlands to remove the blinders. If you look through carefully what they've done here, talking Dutch, not Netherlands, to say Netherlands, remove the blinders to remind people of its connection to the formation of the U.S., and continuous proclivity to hypocrisy towards supporting Nazis. What am I talking about? It's in the opening documents of this, the United States of America, the country, and it was named as a creditor to the United States, adopted in the Constitution of the United States, Article 4, validating the outstanding debt of the Dutch banking interest through the Articles of Confederation, the evidence of payment of which has escaped my studies. I've been telling you this for years. No word of the debt satisfaction to the private Dutch bankers by the United States through is mentioned of paying off, but though there is a mention of paying off the French at the time. I'll give you a link to the United States debt, the United States Treasury, State Department for the accounting of this, and you'll look and you'll see they talk about the satisfaction to the French, but not to the Netherlands. If you still owe money to a banker, you are not a master. I keep master, not a debtor, be. You cannot be a debtor. This country, the United States, started as a debtor. It started as a debtor relative to its commerce requirements to Britain. Well, now we're back to who started the Palestinian problem. This world is a round world for a reason, I suppose. I guess it's really not flat because it wouldn't make sense the way things are. Man has moved all things around and around and around. And speaking of these political deceptions all this time, we've got a more recent one. Somebody I wish I could really like. Maybe because his, you know, uncle was somebody that I looked up to, maybe not so, being young, not so proper and smart to do. But speaking of intelligent political deception, that a guy that also just came out to kiss the bottom side of the Zionista oppressors and virtue signaling cheerleaders. We read a story from Tara Reid. Is Kennedy Jr.'s presidential run as an independent just an illusion of choice for voters? And I just, this, that question, I just have to just answer yes. Because all of them, all these supposed upwellings of good cheer amongst politicians is no good. It ends up being no good. And so we'll just kind of run with that. But she writes, and I thought, fairly good article here. RFK Jr. is running on his family's name and the public's desperate need for a political hero. He has a strong track record for fighting environmental pollution and calling out the greed of big pharma. He calls for a pushback against corruption in the intelligence community and the war machine of the military-industrial complex. He uses the buzzwords that appeal to people to fed up with the direction of America, and he talks about abandoning the uniparty, protecting free speech, stopping endless wars, and holding corrupt politicians accountable. All this is what the political homeless from both parties want to hear. But it is enough, but is it enough for to win the 2024 political election? While RFK Jr. calls out the elite establishment, he is most certainly part of it. Ultimately, the smoke and mirrors of the political theater, that is the American election, RFK Jr. may put on just enough of a show to give voters what they long for, a believable illusion of choice, without actually endangering the uniparty establishment he so dramatically opposes. It's exactly my problem with the guy. I've talked about it before. I won't talk anymore. This is what we are given. We're given a false choice, the illusion of choice. I hope you can see that in the world today. I hope you can see who the real victims are, who is really the oppressor, as I've been talking. And it's supported, I believe, without question. Hope you can use that in your life at some point. Use it to make your decisions and learn to discern better, and not be running with the herd and falling off the cliff like so many lemons seem to do over time. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
open up a can of whoop-ass to you, Zach.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.